That music, in case you're not familiar with it, is from the show Survivor. I can't claim to be a big Survivor show, but I understand it's basically you take a bunch of strangers, you put them on an island somewhere, like the Congo or the Australian outback, and then they have to try to compete in these missions, and they don't have many resources to do these missions with, and then they throw the losers off the show. Robert Shea is a principal at Grant Thornton. He writes that that show is a great analogy for the life of a federal chief human capital officer right now. And I'm just picturing you, Robert, sitting around and watching Survivor.
I'm just wondering, have we achieved a new high at Federal News Radio or a new low?
Did we have the Survivor music as I bring you on the show?
I think it's
a high, and I give a lot of credit to my team, to Sean McCauley and Nicola Grisco, for finding this music. And the bigger task was explaining to me how the TV show works.
Yeah.
And actually getting me to understand it. So they deserve a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, I put on a dirty bathing suit and a torn T-shirt just for this interview.
Well, I thank you for doing that. And I'm glad you're not going to get thrown off the island. But seriously, the connection that you're drawing here comes from what, Robert?
Well, the chief human capital officers are charged with recruiting and retaining the workforce. The federal government, the world's largest organization, needs to accomplish its very complex mission. And they're doing that in the midst of budget cuts, budget sequestration, shutdown, hiring freezes, no bonuses, the worst engaged workforce in a long time. They have an amazing litany of challenges, the hurdles that they have to overcome in order to get their job done. It's like being in Survivor. One thing we don't mention is they've also got to do this while getting food at bad cafeterias. So they really do need to be given credit for all they've been able to accomplish in light of these major challenges.
Now, you're writing about this in GovExec, and this report that you and at Grant Thornton and the Partnership for Public Service have released is titled Embracing Change, Chico's Rising to the Challenge of an Altered Landscape. And that sounds to me like a pretty positive, encouraging outcome, Robert.
That's right. We had some other more pessimistic titles, but I really do think there's an opportunity to give credit for the leadership that's being shown by these people in light of these major challenges. You know, we've tried for a long time to measure and improve the hiring process. It seems to be a challenge that continues to grow, though. More and more folks are retiring. Our ability to attract younger workers and thus our ability to innovate is limited. They've got to find really creative ways to get the workers they need to do the job.
It is really easy to tick off the list of things that are not going well, the challenges, and you've given us the broad framework of that, and I appreciate that. What's more challenging is to get to the solutions and then to implement the solutions. So let's go there for the time that we have remaining, Robert. Here's a couple of the recommendations I wanted to pull out. Sustain efforts to reverse the decline in employee engagement. Given the challenges that you outlined that are resulting in that employee disengagement, how does a human being, a human capital leader who's a human being, turn that around among other human beings who you can't just flick a switch and say, come on, be engaged?
Well, luckily, there's a little bit of a thaw in some of the policies we've seen over the last couple of years. Federal workers will likely get a pay raise this year. Bonuses are being allowed again.
Except at the VA, maybe.
Except maybe at the VA. And what the Chicos tell us is that at the top leadership levels, they get it. Engagement is important. They need to make sure employees are connected to the mission. But at the middle level, that's a middle management level. That's an area where some enhanced focus could get that group of leaders engaged in improving employee engagement. And that means making sure they understand how important it is, why an engaged workforce helps improve performance, and what you need to do to make sure folks are clear how what they're doing is contributing to the mission and what they can do to help them do that better.
So the reason I brought up the VA issue is because that's one of the things that's kind of in the background of all of this that potentially is giving people the fits in the human capital world right now, Robert. Now, we don't have any indication that anybody in Congress has the eyes on cutting bonuses off at other agencies besides VA. But the effort to do it at the VA has passed the House, and the human capital executive that I talked to the other day, who I respect very much, said, here's what people are afraid of at my agency. It happened at VA after they discovered a scandal. If they discover a scandal at my agency, no implication that there is such a thing. But if somebody decides in Congress who has the ability to do something about it, that he or she doesn't like what's going on at my agency and the people aren't being fired fast enough, they can point to what's going on at VA and say, well, you went along with pulling the bonuses of executives at that agency. Why not do it in this case, too? And the potential for trickle down here or for Me Too type legislation is, at least in the minds of some of the folks that I hear from, very, very high right now.
Well, if they think it's the first time this has happened in response to a crisis, then they have very short memories indeed. If you look at the Transportation Security Administration, those folks, when they were made federal employees, got no protections whatsoever. It's happened at the Federal Aviation Administration countless times where policy has responded irrationally to a specific crisis. What I think we might do is leverage this for more broad reform. There's no question the chief human capital officers tell us that, you know, absent broad reform, a lot of these challenges will persist. Hiring, veterans preference, other recruitment and retention tools, these things need probably statutory reform, and maybe there's an opportunity to leverage this crisis to get some of that done finally.
Well, I know we don't do politics a lot on this program, but I think most people that don't have their heads buried in the sand are aware of the loss of House Majority Leader Eric Cantor in his primary down near Richmond yesterday. And what I heard as a potential reaction to that is no more deal making, at least for the foreseeable future. Because of fear of the same thing happening to other members of Congress, especially on the Republican side, as what happened to Leader Cantor. If that happens, any kind of reform ideas such as those that you're suggesting here, which I think are very constructive, it seems to me go right out the window. Am I overreacting a little bit?
Human capital reform is going to be a heavy lift in any environment, and I'm not sure the changes bode well for it. But in the past, these kinds of reforms have generally been subterranean, not very high-profile issues. And in fact, reforming the federal personnel system could be sold as an opportunity to enhance accountability, but in a responsible way.
So there are ways to promote this that could be appealing to constituencies on both sides of the aisle and in both chambers.
I think so. You know, you might be playing with fire in that more traditional protections might be tossed in the trash bin, but I think is, you know, if you sell it as greater accountability and it's done, this is sort of an arcane area of congressional policy, so I don't think it would get the kind of attention folks might be worried about.